There it is. Okay. All right. So, do we have a name for our podcast?
This is Lubitsa and Adam, Drunk Number One.
Okay, great. We don't have a name for our podcast yet, but we're going to start recording our podcast. So, the first topic on our podcast topics is immigration. Okay.
You have better stuff to say, because you told me about how this whole Anchor Baby thing doesn't make sense anyway. Even before MSNBC told us, you scooped them.
Yeah, well, I actually took a class on minorities in high school, where we talked about immigration and immigration laws, including, you know, having a baby in the U.S. that becomes an immigrant. And when we were talking about specifically Mexicans, we talked about how it was, in fact, really messed up that Mexicans who have a baby here are not considered citizens, especially the mother, automatically, because that means that if one day, she's on the bus or wherever, and some ICE person stops her and asks for identification and then proceeds to deport her, the baby that she had here is left without a mother. And the questions that I guess we talked about in my class were, you know, if you have a baby here, do you, and you're the mother, you know, do you, if you get deported, do you still have claim to your baby? How do you get your baby to Mexico?
Yeah.
Your baby who's a citizen here, does it get to stay here without you? Like, how would that even work?
What if she's going to the grocery store with her baby in her arms and there's a policeman there who asks her to see her papers? Is she going to be thrown in jail with her baby? Is her baby going to have to be in jail even though it's a legal
Well,
citizen?
Actually, here in Texas,
I guess that's a different issue. That's more an Arizona immigration law issue.
Well, no, but here in Texas, apparently we have cases. Well, apparently they had to even fight for to get like coloring books and toys into those deportation prisons here in Texas, and they had to fight to not have shackles on the pregnant women giving birth here in Texas, actually. Jeez. As I read in one report. Yeah. So it's pretty pretty messed up. Yeah. I mean, the whole immigration situation is just totally out of control as far as I can see. The Democrats offer no solutions, but the Republicans are so far off the ledge, or whatever metaphor you want to use, that I just don't see what kind of relevance they have on this issue. They claim that they're going to amend the 14th Amendment, but,
yeah.
I mean, it's as Rachel Maddow pointed out recently, using the ERA, which, you know, I'm a women's studies person, so right. I love that, but as she pointed out, it is not a piece of cake or even relevant to petition on the fact that or claim that this is why it should be, you know, voted into office.
Yeah.
On a claim like that you're like a constitutional amendment, like that you're going to amend the 14th Amendment as though it's a policy change. It's not just a policy change. I mean, it's a huge constitutional effort to change that. And it seems completely fucked up to me that they would even, you know, just basically like lead their own constituents and followers into believing them that they're just going to do this or something.
I don't know. I don't care if Mexicans
come here. And do you know any American who does?
And clearly it didn't help the Depression when Hoover rounded up Mexicans and kicked them out of the country.
No, that was not the solution.
Well, very clearly, this is just some issue that politicians bring up to get votes. And I don't really understand even the need for immigration reform. It's well and good to say that people are breaking the law by coming into the country.
I know.
But I don't understand the practical consequences of that, if there are any.
I know it's an old legal argument or rhetorical arguments, I guess.
I think it's just a rhetorical argument.
Well, to say, what is it to be an illegal person in this country? You know what I mean? What does that even mean, to be an illegal person? Like, how can you say that about someone? I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Like, it's illegal to be a person here?
Yeah.
You gotta go in your own country and be a person?
Yeah. Yeah, like, all of a sudden, you've not actually broken a law. You've not actually hurt anyone. I guess conservatives would claim that you've hurt people by taking jobs, quote-unquote.
Taking jobs!
Yeah, I know. South Park there. But,
Yeah, I feel like South Park summed up this issue, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
I love that future people episode where they're like, future people are coming into our time to take jobs or whatever.
The real people who are taking jobs are corporations that are outsourcing.
Absolutely.
That's where our jobs
are
going.
Much bigger impact. Exactly. Much bigger impact than Mexicans. I also
really
love the fact that Rachel Maddow talked recently about how Arizona was the first state to try and privatize all of its prisons. Mm-hmm. And as a result, imagine it was also the first state to try and make it illegal to, like, or super illegal to basically be brown in that state, you know, like trying to allow police to just arrest more and more people than ever before. It's so crazy to me that, like, if you just follow the money trail, you can follow everything. And on the other hand, if you try to follow conservative, I guess, thoughts or thought processes, or they just lead you to absolutely nowhere. Like, we were talking before about abortion and how the people who are totally pro-life...
I'm pro-abortion.
Yeah, post-birth abortion, like Maddox.
No, I'm pro-fetus killing.
No, okay, fetuses but seriously... Shut up. Okay, but seriously, no one's going to take us seriously if we say that. Okay, but seriously...
babies are gross, too. I'm pro
They are kind of gross,
killing.
But we're not actually pro...
I think up till, like, your baby is 6 or 7 months old, you should be allowed to legally change your mind and suffocate your baby.
No, okay,
as long
lies.
As you do it,
you're lying right now.
As long as you do it in a humane way with, like, a pillow...
Actually, what I was trying to say is that if you follow the thought processes of Republicans, it's really hard to understand, or conservatives, but especially Republicans. I mean, it's really hard to understand where they're trying to go with all this shit. Because on the one hand, they're pro-life and they will do everything in their power to try and prevent you from getting an abortion. And now we have people like Sharon Angle and other, I forget who the other people, conservatives were, but modern conservatives in the race, in the like current political races that Rachel Maddow highlighted, who don't even want to allow abortion for incest and rape cases, which until a few years ago used to be like standard practice. Like, no one was debating about whether you could get an abortion if you were actually
raped
or were a victim of incest. And now they're saying, that guy in Colorado who was like, vote for me because I don't wear heels, he's like totally cool with you having to have your baby because you've been raped or a victim of incest.
But what if Detective Olivia Benson's mom had had an abortion? She was a victim
of rape. I know, what a
bummer. We wouldn't have Detective
Lost.
Olivia
that
Benson.
That would have been a loss. Lucky for us, she didn't.
Her fictional character
did not have an abortion. But in the real world... I don't think that the rest of us, at least those of us with a vagina and the ability to give birth, want to be forced into that kind of bullshit, basically, right? I mean, and what I found most interesting, or what I continue to find interesting, is that if you continue to follow that thought process that women should not be allowed to have an abortion, then you should not allow women to have, if you don't want... See, you distracted me with the commercial cleavage.
This commercial was basically for a tank top.
I don't know what's going on.
Like,
I know. Oh!
This commercial we're watching.
So stupid.
It's like one of those late night product commercials. And they're
present.
Okay, you know they present a problem first. Like, okay, this is a commercial
like
for
you
a
have
new,
too much cleavage.
Yeah. You know, you've all seen that commercial with the strainer where they advertise the pasta pot. And and first of all, the lady is like trying to strain her pasta and she spills it everywhere. Well, this lady is trying to wear low cut dresses, but her cleavage
it's just
is hanging
out all
it
over the
place. It has to be
place.
Censored on television. Her boobs are hanging out. So the product they're advertising is I don't know what you'd call it. It's like a fake tank top that you attach to your bra.
It looks like they attach it with like fucking safety pins. I don't know. It's super low tech. I don't even understand. And I mostly don't understand why you wouldn't just invest in, like, a white tank top and a black tank top.
Yeah, that's
or, like, a few multicolored tank tops,
basically,
even.
It looks like she's wearing a white tank top with a lace on top of it. But instead,
she
paid
$19.99
for three fake tank tops, and then she got an extra three for free.
Of course.
With the special limited time
because
offer.
It's like $19.99. But wait, oh wait, they're slashing the price. Oh my god, you get a 10 for $10.
Oh wait, there's more.
Oh, six for $10.
Yeah. But okay. Anyway, we were talking about what the
abortion.
Okay. I was
which is not a funny topic.
No.
Anyway, what I was trying to say before we're totally distracted by this TV commercial. If you follow the abortion meme that you must not have an abortion under any fucking circumstance, then you should provide every possible federal, economic, systematic support that we have to offer to these women, right? Which obviously includes food stamps and welfare. And yet, the same people who are pro life or pro ending the life of the woman who fucking have the kid. Sorry, that was maybe uncalled for. But those same people are the people who are anti-welfare.
Right.
And they say that the people who are unemployed are being lazy and coddled, and if you give them unemployment benefits or if you give them welfare, that they're going to get lazy and they're going to get used to having these benefits and they're not going to work hard. As though these people have no dignity or something. I mean,
right.
I don't even know. But the memes, my point is, if you follow the meme, it totally fails. Like, it just totally implodes on itself. Because on the one hand, conservatives don't support welfare. They don't support, basically, socioeconomic rights. And on the other hand, they're pro-life. Like, how are they expecting women to deal with both of these things? I guess you just gotta get a man. I don't know.
All Republican.
That's the whole Phil Schlafly style. Sorry.
All Republican arguments seem to implode on yourself. So
themselves, yeah.
Here they want you to bring your fetus to term, turn it into a living baby, but then they don't want to give you any sort of support for that new living baby. Also, you were talking earlier about Republicans and Latinos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So George Bush tried to cultivate the Latino vote, and now they've totally given up on that, apparently.
I never thought I'd ever commend George Bush for anything, or Karl Rove, but at least they were trying, man, right?
Yeah.
Like, at least he pulled out his, Latino nephews, which now that we have spent time in College Station and at the I've gone to the Bush Library.
College Station, Texas.
They actually have members of the Bush family who have married Latinos because they're from Texas.
Yeah.
And Latinos are legitimately American. But anyway, he pulled out his Latino nephews and stuff for the 2000 and 2004 elections.
Right.
And Latinos, generally, I mean, in a lot of ways, they're very religious, very Catholic. They have a conservative disposition sometimes, you know. But when you say you're going to amend the 14th Amendment to exclude their children from being citizens, I mean, how could they possibly agree with that? I don't even know.
Bush and Karl Rove had the foresight to cultivate the Latino
vote.
Because, obviously, it's a growing minority.
And it's totally up for grabs.
Totally up for grabs. They sway both ways. They're a swing vote. And they were trying to lock down that vote. But now apparently Republicans are just trying
to.
They're not giving up. They're trying to cash in on the white vote right now.
They're
taking their chips to the. I don't know. I've never been to a casino. They're cashing in their chips right now. They're for all the white voters they can to win these wedge elections in Nevada and Colorado. In Kentucky.
Just for the primary. Because this kind of rhetoric cannot possibly fare well in the national elections. I mean, I've heard people say that over and over again.
Even if it does,
like, are you kidding me? Senators who are Democratic and senators who are independent and obviously House representatives, are not. Who has like a legitimate base of Latino constituents, whether they are Mexican or not, cannot possibly support. I mean, I would hope. Maybe I sound like Harriet Reid here, but cannot possibly support the Republicans. They're so completely trying to isolate The brown, I'm sorry, I don't want to, like, base it down to this level, but that's what it seems they like are. To me, the brown vote, basically, right?
I think that will work for them in the short term. They'll scare white people, they'll get a big turnout.
That's what they always
these,
do.
For these midterm Fear elections. Tactics. And then 2 years, 6 years, 10 years down the line, they'll be paying for it in presidential elections because anybody who is slightly browner than white is going to realize Republicans aren't on their side. White people like us will continue to vote for them unless they're unemployed or lower middle class or working poor, and then they'll realize the Republicans aren't on their side either. And pretty soon, the Republican Party, they're already the party of just, I don't know, rich white people, but pretty soon everybody's going to see that.
Yeah.
They should have.
Well.
Yeah, they should continue to cultivate Latino vote.
Right on.
They in a, you know, the last presidential election decided to put Michael Steele as the head of their.
Yeah, and that's now, just because they saw a black person. Come on. Yeah. That's because they saw a black person become president.
But now.
And then Bobby Jindal was their start for
right.
a second. You're going to see for how
a quick
clearly
second.
They're not actually committed to anything other than the white Christian vote.
No, because now they're cutting him loose. They're cutting Michael Steele loose. They're not.
Not only
they
are they cutting loose, they're
him.
Like, exactly.
You don't see Democrats attacking him for, I don't know, ethical violations or whatever he's done. I'm not really clear on it. You don't see Democrats bringing that
up.
Yeah,
there's not even
it's
ethical
Republicans attacking
violations.
Him.
They just hate him because, I'm sorry, but I think it's because he's not white. But anyway, what I was going to say is that this seems very short-sighted to me. Seems very kind of shooting yourself in the foot. And I think Tea Partyists are a very interesting sect of, I guess, the conservative realm or whatever. I wouldn't group them necessarily with Republicans, although, I mean, because they've essentially been, you know, kind of outvoting Republicans. And, you know, the Republican establishment will have someone they pick as a candidate and then... Tea Partyers just blow them out of the water with their Tea Party uber conservative candidate. But what I find interesting is I've been telling you for a long time in AP Gov I learned about devolution. And I always thought devolution would come to the left first because as someone on the left, I've obviously been very unhappy with the way progressives or liberals or whatever you want to call
us. There are no progressives in the Democratic Party.
Have been
not
treated.
In the national spotlight
anyway. I mean, and now we have the White House completely denouncing anyone who is on the left or, professional left. But it's like anyone who wants to hold them accountable on the left, right? Like,
they're bad
why
mouthing.
Aren't you just like supporting us blindly?
Apparently,
you know?
They're bad mouthing anybody who wants single payer health care or to decrease the Pentagon budget.
Yeah, I've told Adam, obviously, I've told you about this quote before, but there's an incredible Jimi Hendrix quote that I should probably have looked up before I started saying this, but it goes something like, you know, our country will be a better place when people in the military have to hold bake sales to raise their budget. And people in
children
in schools have, you know, as big of a budget as we now spend on defense. That's not really as eloquent as he put it. But the point is, I think that's like a really valid quote. And I'm surprised that no one ever brings that up. I read it while I was in high school and
Whoa.
Was really moved by it. It was when I was in AP Gov also. And I learned that we spend double the amount on our defense budget as our closest, I guess we could call them competitor, China. It does. I mean, over double, you know? And it was like, if we put, like, our next three people behind us to get, or people, countries, behind us, they don't nearly spend as much as we do. So.
Well, you said you're surprised nobody brings that sort of thing up, right? But you and I talk all the time, and we've been reading E.J. Dion's book,
They Only Look Dead. Very good book.
We talk all the time about how the Democrats don't take an ethical,
stance.
Moral stance on
the
issues. Not just any stance. They have the right. I mean, they have the space now to take emotional stances on health care and equal rights for poor people, unemployment benefits, benefits to 9/11 responders that the Republicans are trying to shoot down.
They have
so much room now to just stand up and with emotional indignation call out the Republicans for fucking our country over. And they, for some reason, don't take the space to make an actual stance. You see the Obama administration instead trying to maintain its, I don't know, moderate character and
I don't even know what they're trying to do, not get bogged down in politics or whatever.
I don't know.
I don't even know.
We heard recently how the Obama administration has this policy of no distractions, and we were outraged when we heard that. What a load of crock. What a crock of shit, I mean. A little tipsy. What a crock of shit. Because you have to... Bill Clinton understood you have to play politics. You have to get down in the trenches. You have to get down and dirty. You have to talk to the American people. And you can't just... I mean, the American people hate... what's the elitism? They hate Washington. Mm-hmm. They
That's hate exactly college what they're educated. Playing into, too.
They hate colleges. Mm-hmm. You can't sit up in your metaphorical ivory tower, even if it's just one of perception, and ignore what ignorant people think. You have to try to change their
minds.
Well,
and I think saying, oh, we're going to ignore these criticisms and conversations or debates or whatever that we see as being very base, you know?
You have to join the conversation.
Yeah, like, we're just going to ignore them. That's, like, feeding into the perception that liberals or Democrats or... I mean, I don't even consider the Obama administration liberal by any stretch of the imagination. But the conservative right does, obviously, and that's just totally feeding into their perception of the administration. And I also think that, you know what, you might be all about no distractions and not feeding into it, but as I've said to Adam a million times, you know, the fact is that while you might live up here, the rest of us live in the real world, and we hear these conversations. We watch MSNBC and CNN and whatnot and all the media coverage in general of, you know, Washington and politics. And we have to deal with these conversations every day, whether it's in a context with a person who doesn't agree with our political stance or in the media, you know. And so to try to ignore these things is silly. This also takes us to... what I wanted to be our second topic, which is, what's wrong with the media, man? I mean, it's ridiculous. For one thing, Adam and I have been watching a lot of MSNBC, because we're both very, very unemployed, and very bored down here in Texas, and a little disenfranchised. At least I feel a little bit disenfranchised lately.
No, definitely.
And, so we've been watching a lot of MSNBC, and I don't know if Fox News is like this, because I have such a hard time stomaching their bullshit that it's been years and years since I really watched Fox News for any more than a clip, you know. But CNN, I know, is the same way. And what I find really interesting is that they're obsessed with trying to find out what people think. Like, for the last 3 days... they've been reporting, and sometimes we'll stay up all night because we're totally insomniac because we have nothing to wake up for, so because we have no job, like I said. But anyway, we'll stay up all night, and we'll watch, like, the, you know, 4 and 5 a.m. shows on MSNBC and stuff, and they'll start with the same stories and just repeat them over and over again. And as if that isn't mind-numbing enough, they'll, like, play these basically talk about polls, like... there's this poll that came out, sponsored by Nutrisystem, which, duh, it's going to be biased, guess what? That they, like, talked about for the last, like, 2 or 3 days straight, that's like, would women want to gain 10 pounds or not have sex for the whole summer? And surprise, surprise, women don't want to gain 10 pounds. Oh, my God. Guess who's funding this? Like, who cares? Who gives a shit? But they keep talking about it for the last 3 days as though it's actual news. And it's not actual news. Their focus is, like, what do you think? And their whole thing is, like, follow us on Twitter or Twitter us or tell us what you think. Be our friend on Facebook. We'll send you messages. I forget what all the other social networking sites are now, because even though I'm 23 and you're 22, we don't really give a shit about this stuff. Like, most people our age see this as a total trend, but the media buys into it. Like, it's the fucking news or something, which is such... I'm sorry, I know I'm cursing a lot. I said I wouldn't, but it's such bullshit. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter. Tell me the news. That's what I want to hear. That's why I'm tuning into you. If I wanted to know what people on Twitter think, guess what? I could get a Twitter account and ask people, or read Twitter, or Google that, you know? I don't need you to Google stuff for me, thanks. I can figure that out on my own. What I want to know is, what is the news? And the news that they talk about most often is, like, whether the JetBlue guy is a hero or whether he was, like, wrong in doing what he did and not actually agitated or pushed his limit or whatever. I don't care. Just like I didn't care about Joe the plumber, I don't care about the JetBlue guy. I don't know what his name is, Joe JetBlue or whatever. But I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter.
We don't care about Charlie Rangel either. I'm sick of everybody talking about him when there's nothing to report on. There's been no hearing. The media doesn't know the charges.
They were trying to report on him even before there were charges. He was like, hold on, hang on, let me even hear if I have charges.
All we've learned about Charlie Rangel is that he was dancing at his birthday party.
Exactly, that he had a birthday party.
That's the only thing we've learned. And it's such a waste of time.
And I would like to point out, I think this was, I'm going to pat myself on the shoulder and say this was pretty apt simile, but this is a lot like Suarez. I don't know if people watch the World Cup or if anybody's even listening to us, but this is like the World Cup when Suarez did a handball and everybody freaked the fuck out.
I was pissed personally.
Okay,
I wanted
Ghana to win. Sure you were. But guess what? There's a procedure.
Yeah, that's
right?
The game.
There's a procedure. That's the game. And there's a procedure in the Senate or the... No, he's a House representative, isn't he? Right?
Or with the referees in the World Cup.
Who cares? There was the There's a procedure in Congress to deal with this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just like there was a procedure to take Suarez out for a game, to give him a red card and put him on the bench.
And
there's a procedure to take
care of Charlie
Rangel.
Let's let the procedure take place. Let's have the hearings. I don't understand why MSNBC is pissing itself about this, or why people in Congress that aren't from New York. It's really funny. Like, people from New York, like Anthony Weiner and Al Sharpton, and all these heroes. Yeah,
Bloomberg.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Party.
All these heroes of New York essentially have no problem with Charlie Rangel. Are totally supporting him. Understand that he's been, you know, a wonderful guy. And it doesn't matter whether he's right or wrong. The fact is, at least to me, as a person not from New York, especially, that really has no vested interest in what Charlie Angle's case ends up to be. The fact is that there's a procedure to deal with what has happened, whether it's him or Maxine Waters or whoever. And that's what should be allowed to happen. And people calling for his resignation and all this bullshit is stupid, especially the president calling for it. Come on, man. You should respect this guy because he fucking paved the way for people like you to become president. And by the by, are you kidding me? Maxine Waters, like, she got like $12 million or something for that minority bank from TARP, and her husband held $100,000 in stocks, like stocks that drop and go up and don't really mean anything, if you ask me.
Yeah, $12 million.
In any
million.
Significant real world money, $12 million. What kind of percentage is that of the TARP?
Like 0.001%.
Out of like $7 trillion.
$700 billion and more, and she got $12 million out of that. Just try to imagine that in your head and think of how many zeros that's removed from 100
trillion. Doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. And what kind of bullshit is this that their trial, like, at least I heard Charlie Rangel's trial wasn't going to even be held until like a day before the November election? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like politics. What?
We were also really disappointed in the Daily Show's coverage of this issue.
Oh, yeah, with the race card thing?
Who's the older black correspondent on the Daily Show?
Oh,
well, he,
I forget. Not Wyatt Snapp, but the other guy.
Yeah, not Wyatt, yeah. Well, the other guy came on, and he had a race card, and he ran it through the ATM during the segment.
Like William? No, I don't know. Okay, I don't
he
know.
He ran his race card through the ATM on this, you know, fake Daily Show segment. And it came up denied because there's a black president.
Yeah,
that's
void
why,
when there's a black
that's
president.
That's why his race card was denied. So apparently, according to The Daily Show, there is no racism in America because we elected a black man to president, which is such like a caricature of Republican Tea Party
the real issue.
Positions on racism. They say that America's not racist anymore because there's a black president, and now The Daily Show agrees with them.
Well, it's like...
It's ridiculous. And what about... What about the fact... Alright, we read this article reported in November of 2009 that there have been like 30 cases brought to the Senate or Congress
Larry
ethics panel.
Larry Wilmore. Sorry, that's his name.
There were 30 cases of for investigation brought to the ethics panel in Congress. And at least as of November 2009, and it seems like still, they've chosen to proceed with 8 of those cases. And like 7 or 8 of those people were black, including Charlie Rangel and Maxine Waters. So it seems like there's a clear game of politics here of, I don't know, somebody...
taking out high-ranking Democratic black...
Somebody trying to scare us about black people. Yeah. And by the way, Charlie Rangel is on the House Ways and Means Committee, which is like the most powerful committee.
And he was the highest-ranking Democrat on that, by the way.
The highest-ranking Democrat. So these are political games that are going on. And we're disappointed in The Daily Show and MSNBC for buying into these political games.
I know.
And making it an issue of racism. If there's an issue of racism here, it's the fact that the vast majority or all of these people being investigated are black. And it's just, that's clearly the person put in charge of deciding what gets investigated was appointed by the Bush committee. This is clearly a case of Republicans trying to scare people about black representatives just to, I don't know, get white people out to the polling places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
especially because they assume that white people are naturally going to assume that they're. I don't know. Yeah. This is kind of me just extrapolating here, obviously, but I think they assume that white people are going to vote for Republicans because Republicans are such especially now white. Have just pushed out every single other ethnicity or race out of the party. Except for white people, you know what I mean? So it's like Republicans, white people looking out for white people, you know? Like, I don't know, I think that's like their slogan.
This is just like that story about the two Black Panthers standing outside the Philadelphia polling place during the presidential elections. Okay, maybe they should be prosecuted because one of them was carrying an improvised weapon. But the Justice Department decided to drop this story because it's not worth prosecuting because it's small potatoes or whatever. And then, you know, 2 years later, Fox News decides to turn it into a major news story because they're trying to scare white people. They're trying to make white people scared of black people.
Exactly.
Whether these people should have been prosecuted or not. The media,
look up Rachel Maddow about
the
Fox
conservative
News trying to scare
media,
white people about black people.
The conservative media, including people on the internet, are trying to bring up these stories because apparently it's evidence of reverse racism, which is ridiculous. We're so sick of people talking about racism on TV because they think of racism in the Archie Bunker sense. Like, if you're racist, that means that you don't like black people. Well, no. Racism includes Dr. Laura, who today got in trouble for saying nigger 11 times.
Oh, baby, I can't believe you just said it.
But I'm talking about, I don't know, somebody who's
offensive. No,
you
just did what she just did. Are you kidding me?
See, there's a legitimate debate to be had here. So,
Dr. Laura was not participating
in that legitimate debate.
You don't get to say it. Just like, I don't think that people that don't have a vagina should get to say bitch or cunt or whatever.
But we can disagree about that. But what we can agree with was that Dr. Laura was being racist by telling black people that they shouldn't be offended by white people using
that
word.
That's true.
Okay, black people have a right to be offended at me just uttering that word.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that.
I'm offended.
I think that's fair.
Pissed.
But Dr. Laura thinks that she has a right to use that word because black people use that word, which is ridiculous.
That's true.
And she ignored... Okay, my understanding from watching television, just like her understanding was from watching television, was that black people don't use that always as a term of endearment. They use it to cut each other down also.
Yeah, that's true.
So a white person using that term doesn't just bring up a history of racism. It can be a term that's used to cut you down.
Okay, personally, I have really never, ever... The only time I've ever used that is to maybe tell... Like today I was telling my mom about that, and I used the N-word to tell her which word she used or whatever. But I don't care if there's a black person in the room or not. I feel absolutely fucking uncomfortable. I'm like, I have a terrible mouth, but I feel so uncomfortable using the N-word that I wouldn't use it. I don't care if there's a black person in the room or not. I don't care if there's a brown person or a yellow person. It doesn't matter. I'm not using that word. Like, I was raised that not to use that word. However, I think that the bigger issue here is the fact that Dr. Laura Schlesinger, or whatever her name is, had no fucking remorse for using it. She put up some lame apology but she even after the woman is like, "You used the N-word," she's like, "Yeah, I said N-word, and I hope everybody heard it, you know." And then she like kind of claims like because HBO Comics use it or whatever. Well, HBO Comics use it because they own it, you know, because they're African American or black or whatever, and they fucking own it, and you don't get to own it. The same way that I would be super offended if a guy with a cock comes up to me and says, "You're a cunt," much more so than if a woman came up to me and said I was a cunt. I think it's equally more than equally offensive. And what I find most interesting is that the fact that she said that now that we have a black president, shouldn't be so hypersensitive to that, and that she was hoping that that there would be as much like hate, or I don't know exactly what her words were, but something like that, basically towards white people hating black people. Like, that's literally what she said. I don't know, look up her exact quotations, but that's basically what she said. Like, I'm not really exaggerating it at all. I wish I was. I wish I was, like, a crazy liberal kind of, like, twisting this into what I want or something for political gain, but this is really what she said, and this is what she believes, that, like, now that we have a black president, black people shouldn't be offended if you call them the N-word or something, like, or that if you say, like, something that is against black people. And by the way, she's completely ignoring the historical evocations that that saying the N-word uses. And I would also like to point out to everybody who is white and thinks that they can say that black people are being racist when they say something that is not pro-white people, that you clearly don't understand what racism means. Racism, it means that you are systematically discriminated against because of your race. And as a white person, especially as a white person with a fucking cock, you have not been discriminated against, especially not systematically or historically, in any capacity, in any stretch of the imagination. Not even most recently, when people have finally started to realize all the privilege they get for being a white male, okay? That is not what we mean when we say the word racism. And if you don't know that, then don't use the word. And I find it so interesting that black people, and I'm sorry, I love, we have, I think later in a few minutes, maybe we'll talk about a segment that I really want to make a regular, which is a blank podcast, I Love You, But. But I'm going to have to totally call out one of our favorite podcasts, the Root podcast, the Confab Root podcast or whatever, because they were talking about this case earlier this summer of a cop in Seattle punching a 17-year-old girl in the face because she was jaywalking, and then, I don't know, she might have, like, become more aggressive towards him or whatever, but she was a 17-year-old girl, and he's a cop who is armed, right, yes, white cop, black girl. He is armed, by the way, with a gun and a nightstick and mace and all kinds of weapons, and this girl is not, and the video on YouTube or wherever of this girl that you might find, you know, starts halfway through, so it's hard to tell who antagonized who first, but I don't think it really matters, because the fact is, I have in my youth, at 17, actually, jaywalked, imagine that, and been stopped by a cop in my community, who just said to me and my friends who were jaywalking, "You might not want to do that in front of a cop next time," and that's as much consequence as there was. But on the route, they were talking about, like, is this her fault? She's a black girl growing up in America. She should know better than to challenge a police officer or threaten a police officer.
Because
blah, blah, blah.
She's black.
Because she's black. No, wrong. We should strive for better, for better lives of black people than that. For black people or anybody of any race to be able to say whatever they want to the police, because I don't think saying something verbally to the police is offensive or scary, because you can say something to anybody else in any other fucking profession and you won't get arrested. Right. I mean, it's such bullshit that you can't verbally offend the police. Are you kidding me?
I think a lot of those people,
even if you
talking,
punch them in the face, you have a, even if a black girl punches you in the face, you have a gun, you have mace, you have a nightstick. Are you kidding me? You think that you were so physically threatened that you needed to punch this girl in the face? Like, That's such bullshit. I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
I don't know. I just think a lot of the people we heard talking on the podcast were older, middle-aged, probably.
Yeah.
The host, I think, is a little younger, but a lot of the people who were saying that she should have known better were older, and maybe they grew up in a time where... You did need to know better as a matter of survival.
Yeah, but exactly.
We're supposed to live in a post-racist society or whatever, which neither of us believe.
But
these young girls have a right to expect that this is their police officer.
Who's going to protect them?
Who's going to protect them?
Hit them in the face.
Not antagonize them. Not just hit them in the face. Not antagonize them.
Exactly.
This is a public official who is supposed to be on the public side and should not be harassing her. So I think it was, people call her out for maybe getting too antagonistic with the police officer, but that doesn't deserve a punch in the face.
Exactly. I also want to point out, going along with this, with what's wrong with the media topic, that one of the other kind of subtopics I wanted to cover in this is the media trying to claim objectivity, which I find really interesting. And as far as I can tell, their main effort to be objective is to present two sides of every story as though that is the end-all be-all of objectivity. Like, if you just present two sides, that means you're objective. And not just that, but that when they present two sides of every single argument, whether, like even in this case, like, I felt like the Root was trying to kind of come off as objective or something by doing this. I don't know. Maybe I misunderstood that, but it seemed to me like that's what they were trying to do. And by kind of trying to present these two views, I felt like they were giving credence to the weaker argument. Like, they were saying that, you know, this is what, like, basically they were saying, like, it's equally right to expect that this black girl in America should have expected that this would happen, as, you know, the people who, like us, are saying that this should never happen, especially in modern day America, you know? And so, and this is obviously not the only case. You see this with immigration, with every issue. I mean, especially, like, we've been watching, like I said, CNN, and they always present, it's like their favorite format is to show two people for 5 minutes arguing pretty much incoherently.
2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah. Pretty much arguing incoherently about a single topic, like especially a hot button issue, which obviously will bring the most viewers to whatever channel. And I don't know, but it seems to me like, well, first, my first question is, like, are we better off? Do we learn anything as a result of this kind of media reporting? I mean, I don't think so.
No, the answer is no.
I feel like every time I watch that, I've just lost, you know, 5 minutes of my life I'll never get back at the most.
That's why we like Rachel Maddow, because she gets in-depth on a topic, and she doesn't bring on two people who disagree. She brings on one person who is usually an objective person, or sometimes not, but she brings on one person and has an in-depth conversation with them, just like NPR does. Well, not all NPR shows, but if you listen to Fresh Air, she brings on one person and has an in-depth discussion with them. And when you do that, you have a chance to really get into an issue. Even if you disagree with the person talking, I mean, it gives you...
You actually
learn something. You get some perspective. But when you bring on two people who yell at each other for 30-second intervals, I mean, you don't get anywhere.
Not only do you not get anywhere, but it also acts... It just acts to show, like, oh, well, these two views are equally valid. No, they're not. Sometimes they are really not. Birther movement, when you bring on one person like Orly Tates or whatever the fuck, who's supposed to be a birther and is supposedly seeking the truth about Obama, and you bring out another person who's just like, no, this is crazy, and you allow them essentially like an equal footing on your show, that's wrong. Like, you are just strengthening the weaker argument, not by virtue of the argument, but just by virtue of the fact that you're presenting them as equally valid. And as a news source, we rely on you to be a watchdog, or at least America used to rely on the news to be a watchdog. And you have totally failed us as a news source when you do that. I mean, I don't care if it's MSNBC, PBS, whatever. When they provide equal time to one argument that is valid and another argument that is completely crazy without debunking the I don't know, lackings of the second argument, the lack of evidence, of truth, of any kind of credibility, you know, then you've just lost me. You've lost me completely, and I don't understand how I could ever trust you or want to listen to you. I mean, I just don't think that's useful or valid or important, and yet every show on MSNBC that we watch, including the ones that we love, like Ed Schultz and Hardball, continue to use this format, and it's just so useless. And I think Rachel Maddow is like the only person who doesn't do that on cable news. I don't know.
Unfortunately, Republicans know how to take advantage of this format, while Democrats are still figuring it out.
Yeah, because they just stick to their talking points. They just spew the same talking points. Like, we were watching Meet the Press, and he was trying to press John Boehner on, like, issues of, like, the 14th Amendment reforms that the Republicans claim they're going to have, or on issues of the economy and stuff. He was just, like, trying to press him, and John Boehner just stuck with his talking points. I mean, he didn't say anything that was out of the Republican playbook, you know? And it didn't matter how pissed off, David Gregory got. It didn't matter. Like, you could tell he was totally peeved with the guy. Doesn't matter. Too bad for you, because I'm going to keep spewing my same talking points, and you as MSNBC are willing to broadcast them as though they're as equally valid as, you know, every other talking point. And so, you know, in a sense, they get what they deserve. I mean, that's what you're going to do. Last topic.
Now we tend to disagree with Slate Culture Podcast. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our problem with their analysis of reality television is that they don't spend any time watching it. They watch the premiere
and come
to their conclusions, and then they, I don't know, move on and talk about Stieg Larsson novels or whatever.
Yeah.
But to that end, we would like to wholeheartedly recommend The Real L Word if you haven't been watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And Slate Culture
Podcast. First of all, there's some hot lesbian sex in that. I mean, literally, you get to see one girl fucking another girl with a strap on. Like,
yeah.
And they're both cute. And we're dating. You know.
Slate Culture Podcast mentioned they watched the premiere, like they watch the premiere of things and then stop watching it. And they said, well, none of these women are relatable. And we agreed with them.
Yeah.
In the first episode, they were all annoying, just as annoying as these Real Housewives of D.C. But when you watch it, you know, their personalities start to develop. You're willing to give it a chance. And we started to like almost all the characters except for Rose and her girlfriend.
Which I think maybe kind of you're not supposed to, honestly. Like, Rose is
They're full of shit. It's hard to.
Exactly. So douchey. So full of shit. And her girlfriend is unwilling to call her on any of it. It just doesn't seem like a real relationship.
It's dysfunctional.
If they were straight, if Rose was the... I mean, I hate to put it in these terms, but especially as a woman's studies person, but Rose is clearly, like, the man in this relationship, right? Like, she seems like a douchey frat boy. I think that's what they said, actually, on the Slate Cultural podcast. Totally with them on that, you know. And if she was a douchey frat boy, and Natalie, her girlfriend, was just her cute little blonde girlfriend like she is on the show, there's not a single person in the world who wouldn't be like, oh my god, you need to call her out. But instead of saying, like, stuff like that, the Slate Cultural Podcast just, like, dismissed the show wholeheartedly, you know? And I think that was the wrong approach. I think their relationship is really disingenuous, and they come off as pretty just fake people in general, I think. I mean, I don't know, but that's the impression I get. Although, I will say that there are parallels between Rose. Like, Rose will cause a fight with Natalie, and also if you watch Jersey Shore, Ronnie will cause a fight with Sammy, and then both of them go and, to use Jersey Shore terms, creep on girls. You know, like, basically they create the fight so they can go out and hook up with someone randomly or just have a free pass. If, you know, in Rose's case, it was, like, to get strippers or whatever. But the point is they both use the same strategy. And that I find kind of really interesting, that you can actually parallel The Real L Word with Jersey Shore, of all things.
Another show that Slate Cultural Podcast likes totally to dismissed. But I think the connection here is that in both these relationships,
there's no real connection.
They don't
they're not able to talk with each other about their relationship or how they feel emotionally.
At all.
So only by hurting each other can they express dissatisfaction with their relationship.
That's a really good point.
As a recurring theme through both shows.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I find it really interesting that in both shows, those relationships seem so shallow, just as a glib view, through the glib glance that we get into their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so easy to see from the very first episode that Rose and Natalie didn't have a good connection, or that Ronnie and Sammy were not going to make it. And a big part of that is obviously, I mean, it seems like it's the cameras. And on the other hand, it seems like whether or not there were cameras there, it seems like these people might just have a real lack of communication.
Yeah.
And they just, I don't know, it seems to me like they totally buy into the culture of hotness that has just been presented to America.
Oh, totally.
You know? So I think, like, they're together just because they find each other hot, not necessarily because they're actually interested in each other's personalities.
Ronnie and Sammy are probably the hottest characters on Jersey Shore, so they think they should date each other. And I think Rose and Natalie are probably the hottest characters on The Real L Word, so they think they should date each other. And that's just not how it works in reality.
No. You don't date the hottest person in the room just because they're the hottest. I mean, physical attractiveness might be what brings you to talk to the person, but if there's
also
nothing beyond that,
not only are those,
most people
not only
in real
are
life
those,
don't date each other after that, you know?
Not only are those four characters really hot, they're also completely not aware of themselves.
Yeah, which
is
really
interesting.
Shocking. Seems like a lot of the other characters on the show are much more self-aware.
On the latest episode of Jersey Shore, there was this scene where Sammy and Ronnie reconnect after Ronnie has, like, totally creeped on other girls at the club, and after he told her that she was a bitch and that she should leave the club, stop hanging out with him and go home, he goes and gets in the bed with her. And the next morning, you know, they're all lovey-dovey and they stay in bed together until
it's that night, and then he decides to
night,
go clubbing
it's
again.
It's that night. Well, Nicole invites Sammy to go, like, get dinner with the girls or something like that. And she's like, no, I don't want to. But Ronnie's like, well, if you want to go hang out with them, I'll go to the club with the other
and
dudes.
And then he just leaves to go with the
club. So he goes
club.
To the club with the other. Sammy's like, well, you know, do what you want and whatnot. You can go to the club, that's fine. But she acts depressed the whole time. You know, she like,
if you're any kind of, like, human
right.
being, you'd, if you have any
clear,
sense of perception, like,
it was clear that she was testing him, that she didn't want him to go, but she was going to say it was all right to see if he would go.
And he obviously
so
didn't
he
give
goes.
A shit.
So he goes. But after that, you know, Sammy's acting really sad. She's acting really mopey in bed. But once he's gone and Snooki is there, she, like, sits up in bed and she looks happy because I think she was happy because she caught Ronnie being a dick to her, and she had this look on her face like, I got him, you
yeah,
know?
And now I can stop playing the good girl who wants to date this guy and actually break up. I don't know, that's
yeah.
what it seemed like to me, I don't know.
And Snooki was like, oh, you were testing him, and he was, and she, Sammy was like, yeah, I was testing him,
and
he failed,
yeah.
She was just playing a game, and she was happy to win the game.
Yeah.
Which tells you that they don't have a real relationship, among many other things. And it's the same, actually, now that you mention the parallels between that and The Real L Word, obviously Ronnie uses every minor argument they have to go creep on girls at the club.
So does Rose.
She used the most minor arguments
to
go
get
hang out with strippers.
Then to hang
also,
out with her ex.
Also, Rose and Ronnie are both retarded. And, you know, I feel mixed about using that word, just like the N-word.
Yeah, absolutely.
But sometimes other words don't
it's
apply. They're both retarded because the shit they're doing is going to show up on TV. The person that they're fucking over is going to see it on TV later on. But they still fuck them over. They still hang out with strippers and chicks at the club, even though it's going to hurt the person that they supposedly love.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. That if you actually care about this person, I mean, you're not going to hurt them, especially in such a public way to embarrass them like that. I don't know. I mean, I just can't imagine doing that to somebody I cared about. That has to be either you're so obtuse that you can just not, like, sympathize with another human being, or you just don't give a shit. I mean, those are the two options, you know? And in both cases, I think they just don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
That comes off very loud and clear. Anyway, I was going to do blank podcast, I love you, but I feel like we kind of covered it with the Slate Cultural Gap Fest.
We covered it a few
times. Yeah.
And with the confab.
Yeah. So, we've been talking for an hour and 12 minutes,
but
so
we're
I think
probably
we should stop.
Cut it down.
Let's hope. But anyway, I think this was a good first attempt.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll play this. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll listen to it because it's so long.
But
we might not
other
even,
people will.
We might not even listen to it and edit it down because it's so long.
Maybe we will. I think there's a few places where we can probably edit it down. Okay, let's stop talking. All right.
Bye.
Bye.